listener.
Kickpod acknowledges the traditional owners and custodians of the land in which we're recording this podcast, the Yulukut Wulang clan of the Boomerang, who are a part of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to our elders, past and present, and extend our respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
Welcome to the Kickpod, a D&M with your besties on the stuff that matters. 1, 2, 3.
We both tend to say hi at the same time.
Hi. So excited for today's episode.
So excited.
The guest today is Ash Paraskevas, and Ash is just, you know what? She's a friend. I'm going to call her a friend of ours, and I hope she's okay with me saying that.
I think that's okay to
cool.
say.
Cool. You know what?
If Ash is listening, is like, no. If, that's also okay.
That's okay too.
But I
would like her to be our friend.
Same.
But you know what? Ash is someone that we've both followed.
A bit awkward. It would be awkward. Ash, you do you. If you want to be our friend, we're here.
If you don't, we
love you.
But we have both followed Ash for quite some time now and watched a lot of her journey. And she's also been an incredible support to Kick. She is a content creator. And if you don't follow her on social media, we highly recommend because we both love what she puts out there. She's a mental health and self-love advocate. And she's also a former Miss Universe contestant. She had an eating disorder in her teens and early 20s, which is something that she's quite open about on social media. And she posts a lot about her sexuality, body image, and mental health as well.
Oh, she's just awesome. And what I really loved about today's conversation and where we got to, where we went to and what Ash was gave us so generously in what she shared was for a lot of people, the expectation on society of who we should be obviously is something that is, in saying this, it's so hard not to feel like we have to fit this mold of society. And I know there is so many people because for a lot of us that just doesn't work and we don't feel like ourselves. And Ash has navigated that. Mm. And that was one of the main reasons we wanted to talk to her today, because for so many of us, we are trying to find who we are in a world that's telling us that we should be something else. Mm. And the way that Ash shares her story and talks to how she's done that is just amazing. So we hope you enjoy.
Ash, it is so awesome to have you just here in the Kick Pod sitting across from us. May I say, you look cool as fuck today.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh my God, I'm so excited to be here. Honestly, you guys are just inspirational to so many women, especially like your community that you've created. It's just so nice to see a positive impact on the fitness industry.
Oh, thank you. And honestly, thank you for your support in that, because you've come to some of our events and like we've worked with you, and I think our community also resonates so much with you, which, I mean, it's a huge reason why you're here today on the Kick Pod, but we really appreciate your support as well, because ditto, you are making such an impact on the world as well.
Oh, guys, look at this warm and fuzzy. Love it. Good energy.
But we wanted to talk to you today more broadly about like how you have come to be, you know, happy in your skin and happy with who you are and really leaning into that. Because I know from following you personally for years now, you've been on a bit of a journey. So if someone was to come across your page now, you are like this, I mean, and you do share the raw moments still, don't, you know, but you are so confident in your sexuality and in your body, and it seems, right? So talk to us a little bit about your journey there, because I know it hasn't always been that way.
Yeah, exactly. When people look at my page now, they definitely see that the fruit from the tree, like all the hard work was in creating this, like growing this little tiny seedling into a tree. And now they're seeing the fruit from that, which I'm so proud of, because I can share the fruit. And I find that the fruit comes with more inspiration, but definitely like it's nice to delve deeper into how I, you know, grew that fruit. I don't know what this analogy is, but
no, I'm liking it. It's good.
I am loving it.
But I think at the start, it definitely was a lot of body image issues and mental health and trying to find who I am, especially as a POC woman, accepting, you know, my journey with dating a guy for 7 years who I thought I was going to have like the white picket fence, and I went to law school, and all this expectation of who I had to be, kind of shedding those layers into who I am now. And I think I'm proud of that messiness, and I'm proud that I shared that, because it's allowed me to show where you can get to if you put in the work and if you're persevering, even in those really dark times where you're like, I can't, like, this is too much. I don't know where to go for help. I don't know where I start in my mental health journey, or even just in my fitness journey, or just a journey to being myself. Mm. I like that I've been able to show the intricacies of it and the non-glamorous parts of it. And then now I get to show my life now, which is I still am raw, but I don't have as many low moments to share, which is really nice to see. And I feel like I hope that that provides inspiration for people seeing my, like, where I started to where I am now.
And you, I think as you sit here now, like, you're, I can never say this word, effervescent. I think I said it.
I think that's
effervescent.
It.
You're
I don't know.
Glowing.
I wouldn't even try and say that.
you're glowing. You, like, your energy, like, and even in knowing you over the past few years, like, I have felt this, your energy completely switch in the past kind of few years in just owning who you are. But obviously I know that that has taken years to get there. And so for you, when you think back to, because I know when you did Miss World.
Yes.
When you were, how old were you when you did that?
19, 20.
Oh, yeah, I'd say like 20, 21, because I just, I was taking a break from law school, because law school, it's such a messy journey, but I ended up getting into uni, and I was the first person in my family to go to uni. And I kind of went from this like public school in the north, when the north wasn't all gentrified and cool with cafes. And I went to the south side, which is across the river, and I went to Monash, and it was, I kind of came with how I grew up, which was a bit more like how I look and present now. I was a bit more like flowy with my fashion, and I was studying art. But then when I got to school, when I got to uni, I realized just how different I was and how kind of exotic I was. And everyone kind of pointed that out to me, like, oh my God, you're 18 and you got tats and you got this and you've got this creative expression. And then instead of being, yes, this is me, I wanted to hide. So I slowly kind of moved out of the art, which was my passion at the time. And I studied business. And then I was like, no, how else can I prove myself in this world? So I went to study law. And I did that for 2 and a bit years. And it just ate me alive, because it was so different to who I was on the inside. But I tried so hard to be this person. And I worked at commercial law firms, and I was putting so much energy into studying that I just got to a point where I couldn't do it anymore. I had to take a break for my mental health, because it got to the point where it was an assignment for animal law. And I actually, like, it was, I enjoyed the assignment, but I couldn't submit it on time because of so much anxiety. Like, I spent 2 weeks not being able to leave my house, not being able to eat. And I was just in this little tiny part of my brain that was so obsessed over this assignment, because I wanted to get 90% or above. And so much of my worth was wrapped up in that, that I actually couldn't press submit on the assignment. And then when I was trying to press submit, I had a whole anxiety attack, because I was just so wrapped up with this one thing validating my whole worth. And then it was after that kind of panic episode where I was like, I actually need to take a break and I need to pause this. And I was going to work on my mental health. But then on my phone, this Miss World competition comes up, and I was like, let's do this. Let's prove my worth in a different way. And that was validating, I guess, how I used Miss World was validating that I am beautiful, validating that I'm enough, and validating that I am lovable. So that's why I used the Miss World competition. So pretty much.
Okay. And before that, so your study, and for everyone listening that's enjoying this conversation and wants to know more about your story, you went on Liv Rogers' podcast, Tell Me More, and highly recommend listening to that. There's actually, it's a 2-part episode. It's amazing. We'll put it in the show notes. I was listening to that episode, and what I found so interesting and I resonated with so much was when you were talking about studying law and after school, because I think sometimes in year 11 and year 12, we throw ourselves into our studies because that's like a, it's a coping mechanism in some way. And then when you get out of school, you're faced with the world, which is not a test, and it's not mm-hmm. your entire validation is how much you can memorize of your biology mm. book.
Yes.
It is so different. And I just thought that was such, so for you in coming out of school, and that was your, like your way of feeling good enough, right? Was yes. getting the test results. And then so when you went into uni, it's hard.
It is 100%. And also just in year 12, I use study as a way to prove people wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I use study as a way to get out of the situation I was in, which I started working at 13 to help mum pay bills, and I worked at McDonald's. And everyone kind of told me that I couldn't achieve anything because exactly, like I didn't read till I was three because mum was working 24/7 and there's only so much you can learn in school. So then it was constantly like, I got to year 12 and I was like, I'm done with feeling like I'm not good enough, thinking that by studying 24/7 and proving that I can get this ATAR is going to make me good enough. And I think like on reflection, a lot of that stems from, yes, the school environment, because they put a lot of work mm. in where you're going to go from
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
But also like my childhood, I wasn't given love, and I wasn't given love just because I am a human. Like it was always conditional.
Yeah.
And even then it still wasn't validating enough. Like I always felt like I'm not really worthy of being here because I'm unlovable. And I think it was that insecurity that played out in so many avenues of my life, like the way I dressed, the way I looked, the way I would seek validation from marks and uni and even people around me. And then eventually it was my looks and my worth in, I guess, lovableness by the majority of what the beauty standard is. So I think it was that lack of love from my childhood and constantly feeling like I'm being dragged down by the people around me that played out in all these different mm-hmm. avenues in my life. And it wasn't until I started to really work on that root kind of emptiness inside of me. When I started to kind of work on that hole, it started to like create this more lighter energy where I could really see the difference in my confidence and my ability to feel like I'm worthy without all the external stuff. But it was definitely that like little, mm. like, I can't even explain it. It was like this empty little hole in my chest and like near my heart that I'm just constantly not good enough. So then I think that stemmed with the eating disorder yeah. and with the putting my worth in marks and wanting to use Miss Universe and Miss World as validation because of that little empty space.
One, two, three, four. And if you look at the photos of you in Miss World, you look completely different to how you look now. And in that time, was that you were trying to change your body, your hair, the way you look to, did you feel like you in that moment?
I think I was convinced that it was me.
Mm.
And because ever since I was probably 6 years old, I grew up in a predominantly white area. And I had a mum who was white. Well, she's Greek, so she looks very Greek, but Greek is essentially white because it fits the same mold. So I grew up in an environment where I was never around my POC side. Mm. So I always tried to fit into the Western standard. And when you're trying to fit into a Western standard and you're a POC, it's never possible. So I did everything I could from a young age to fit that Western mold because that's all I saw on the media as well and all I was seeing in real life.
Mm.
And a lot of the things I got teased for were because I was a POC. Like I'd be called monkey face and my body would change at different times compared to the other girls. And I always felt bigger. I always felt different. And I think it was kind of the way I looked in Miss World was a product of ever since I was 6 years old. And it just got worse and worse, especially as you have access to money and social media and more images of what you feel like you should look like. It just kind of got to that point where that was the the sum up of all the years since I was six, where I reached that westernized beauty standard that I was striving towards ever since I was 6 years old, thinking that that was going to make me feel like I finally fit in and belong in the world. And then once I did Miss World and I kind of realized, like, I didn't win. I came top 10, but I realized that even when I change myself to meet this mold, even when I'm trying everything I can to be lovable in the eyes of what, you know, social media and the media has shown me, it still isn't enough, quote unquote, enough. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of when I had another breakdown. It's like, I don't know what to do to prove to myself and others that I'm worthy, even when I'm changing everything about myself. And then that's when a moment clicked, was like, I'm changing everything about myself.
Yeah.
I have no idea who I am. I have no idea what my natural hair looks like. Like, I have this afro, I have this whole identity that I was ashamed of, and I just lost it. Mm-hmm. So now when I look back at those photos, I just see someone that was lost and someone that was seeking validation so much outside of herself that she just had no idea who she was.
Yeah, and I think what is so relatable in your story in this, when you then did Miss World and you felt like you were at, you know, the standard of a Victoria's Secret angel in the way that you appeared and everything, is unfortunately for a lot of us, that is like a goal that we've had in our lives, right? And you think that when you're going to get there, and it just reminds me so much of some of our stories that we've shared as well, but when you think you're going to get there, then you'll have all this happiness and everything will work out in life. But there's a quote I really love, and it's not a dream body if it's a nightmare to maintain. And I think it's really special because so many people who come into our community, maybe they've come off the back of, you know, another challenge or something that's made them feel like, when I get to, you know, X goal weight or like this measurement or whatever, I'm going to feel amazing. But they have to like overhaul their life with like all these different things that aren't them and isn't true to them and their values. And it's, I think, for you to be able to come to that moment where you realize, because even as you said, outside of just your body, it was like everything, the way you were acting, dressing, etc. You just weren't leaning into like what actually mattered to you and who you were. And for that, like, I'm sure that was, and I know your story. I know that it wasn't, you know, then the next day you were cool with who you were. Like, it's still a journey from there, but I think it's really important. It's an important reminder that you can get to this societal standard of what you perceive as like perfection or beauty. And it doesn't mean that you're going to be happy with who you are.
Oh, 100%. And it's never enough.
Mm.
You reach that one thing and then you're looking for the next thing.
Like, you didn't win, but do you reckon if you did win, it would have made any difference to your story?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because at that time, you were really searching for that external validation. Do you think it would have given you the validation you needed?
It would have, but then it would have been empty. Mm-hmm. And I would have got to where I am just at a different time, because I think I always needed to get to where I am, because it was always there. And no matter what I did, I'd still be searching. It wouldn't be enough. I probably would have got there. I'd have been like, oh, cool. And then I would have been looking for the next thing.
Mm.
Because when you're constantly feeling like that emptiness and you're not living your truth, you're always constantly trying to grab something that's going to validate, you know, that truth.
And that's right, because how you were at that point, you weren't leaning into that. So if you were validated for something that wasn't true to you, at some point it would have felt off.
Exactly. Yeah. Or like it was just never enough and I needed the next thing. Mm. And I think I did that with Miss Universe after, when I took time to really reflect after Miss World, and I was like, I went on a natural hair journey there and I posted a before and after of my hair. So I cut off all my straightened hair and then I embraced my little tiny afro, and that's when I started to share my authenticity journey. And at the time, I thought that was going to solve everything. I was like, I'm going to cut my straight hair off and then I'm going to be this like whole me. And that was like the first layer of the onion. And then you go in and it's like, you know, when you keep cutting the onion, you start to cry more and you're like, oh God, this is hard. But then you make like a meal out of it.
Mm.
That was my journey.
Your analogies are amazing.
I love analogies. It's like always something that I've got in my head and I'm like, everyone's just like, what?
It's a really good way of explaining it though.
Like the first layer, you kind of like like the skin stuff, mm-hmm. like the things that, what is it? Like it's not the actual onion. So that was my hair journey.
Yeah.
And then I started to get deeper into it. And that's when I realized, oh, it goes so much more deep than like me straightening my hair. It goes to the core of me not accepting who I am, not accepting my journey, not accepting that I grew up poor, not accepting that I'm a POC, not liking that I'm a POC. And then eventually it got into my sexuality, which was a couple years later after I kind of did the old layers. Mm. It's almost like levels, like you're ready for different levels at different stages and the universe isn't going to give you a challenge that you're not ready for. And I think it wasn't until I kind of did level one and then like level two and then level three that I actually kind of reached a point now where I'm like, I've actually kind of looked at most layers and some layers are going to come in later on that challenge me, but the core ones that were really holding me back, I slowly worked at them. And now I feel like, you know, I've made like a pretty nice like meal out of my onion kind of thing.
Yeah, nice.
How do you now, going through your journey from kind of finding validation through your marks, then through the way that you looked, then going on a journey to where you are and sitting here right now, where do you now seek your validation from?
Myself.
Yourself. So now it's internal.
It's internal.
And how do you, because I feel like it is such a hard journey, obviously.
Yeah.
And like you shared so openly how hard it was. What do you do to be able to seek validation internally? And I swear not needed validation from, you know, things like marks or the way you look.
Or comments or likes.
Exactly.
Yes. It is a constant battle. Mm. Like it's definitely not like now I walk around and I just know that I'm worthy.
No,
I know that I am a hot and I'm doing that. Like even now, like when I'm working out, I actively have to fight like those old ways of thinking and know that they're always going to be a part of the journey. But it's just knowing that I have the skills and the tools and all the stuff that I've worked for to make those kind of more self-doubty moments. Self-doubty. I don't know. That's a word for me.
Today it is.
Make those more self-doubty moments not last as long and be able to recognize them and honestly hold myself with compassion in those moments and be like, I'm human. Like I struggle sometimes with like still making sure I eat like a nourishing meal 3 times a day and I'm really looking after myself and looking in the mirror and actively practicing self-love exercises where, you know, I stand naked and I'm like, okay, yes, Ash, you are hot, you are beautiful, you are more than your body. And some days I'm like, in that mirror and I'm like, yeah, hey.
Yeah.
And then some days I'm looking in that mirror and I'm like, I'm faking it till I make it today.
Yeah.
But it's knowing that the only way validation is going to really impact me is if it's from myself, because it's always going to be more than enough from me. Whereas from everyone else, if I'm constantly trying to seek it outwards, it's never worked in the past. And I know that it's not going to serve me now. So it's just actively every day, just doing the things that I know fill my cup and also actively create more of a self-loving relationship, even though I face, you know, what we all face, which is self-doubt and feeling like we're not good enough. But it's just knowing that, okay, I've got this skill and this skill and this skill to implement and I'm going to do my best. And it's worked before. It can work again, even if it might be a little bit slower today. At least we're trying. So I think some of the best things for me is definitely journaling. I love my journal. Like sometimes I will my journal is everything. No one read it because it's got a lot of stuff in there. But like some days I'll just vent and it might be me feeling insecure about my body. So I will, especially like with my weight loss and my fitness journey, a lot of the comments I get on my body, it's like, oh my God, you look so great now. That's probably why you're happy. And I'm like, sometimes that just gets you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's actually not why I started my fitness journey. It's a lot more complicated than that. It's because I love it.
Yeah.
It's because it provides me with confidence in my strength and in my resilience, and it allows me to have routine. But then everyone comments on the external stuff. Mm. So like that day, maybe I might journal about all my feels unfiltered, like people are saying this, I'm feeling this, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't feel good enough today. I feel like my body's being overanalyzed by myself and others. And I would just kind of write out everything and just brain dump. And then afterwards, I'll read over it with like a different color pen.
Mm.
And I actually like annotate it, and I write myself a message from like a kind of more wiser version of myself.
I love that.
Yeah. And I tell myself all the things that I would tell a best friend if I was listening to them rant, kind of thing.
Mm.
And I find that it's really validating, and it's also a really nice way to kind of change the narrative in my head. And then I would just maybe like do an exercise where I just write down like five things that I actually really appreciate about myself. And most of the time it's got nothing to do with how I look, like pretty much 90% of the time. Maybe if I'm having a good day, I'd be like, Ash, those guns are gunning. Like,
yeah.
But it's mostly like, I love my resilience, and I love what I stand for, and I love the community I've created, and I love my friends and the family I've created. And I love that I finally accepted, you know, my sexuality as a full-blown lesbian, which has just been so good.
We wanted to ask you about that in particular with your sexuality.
Yeah.
You were in a relationship, as you said, for 7 years, and Charlie, your partner, was your safe space, your family, your comfort blanket.
Yes.
And for you to leave that relationship knowing that all of that comfort was there and would be not taken away. I know you have a great relationship now, but it just obviously wouldn't be the same.
Yes.
To lean into your sexuality and listen to that voice inside of you that was saying like, this is not me. Like I'm not attracted to men. I'm attracted to women. How important was that layer of your onion?
Oh, it was really important. I feel so liberated now. And I found my community. I can speak more unfiltered because I trust myself. I know myself. And I actually get to experience the emotions of liking someone and feeling those like feelings. It's like I never really understood what it's like to be in love or to be attracted to someone, because I literally just wouldn't allow myself to feel that way. I'd like force myself to look at men in the way that I look at women naturally. Mm-hmm. So it's just allowed me to feel so much more free in my self-expression, but also in feeling all these so many beautiful emotions that I was cutting myself off to, which is like, damn, that girl is hot. Yay. And like getting excited over text messages and being, you know, having my little girly moments where like I have crushes, and they're not just like crushes that I feel like I should have, but like crushes that I feel, like that tingly feeling. What is it? I call it fanny flutters.
I love it.
But it's just allowed me to feel so much more light and so much more confident in who I am and feel so free. And I finally can allow myself to envision my long-term life, which is I want to be a mum. But I never saw a mum in the way that, you know, my relationship with Charlie was. And I was always feeling so guilty. I was like, he's so amazing. He's awesome. Like, he's my safety blanket, which wasn't actually very healthy at the time, because, you know, your partner should be, you know, not everything to you.
Yeah,
they should be a big part of your life, but they shouldn't be. Codependency isn't healthy. But I never really fully envisioned the life that I had with him. And I always felt so guilty about it, because I'm like, everything's so perfect. Like, the white picket fence should be something that I want. Mm. And then now I see a future for myself, and I'm like, I love it.
I really think we underestimate the value of like that feeling in ourselves. And I feel like that maybe, and I don't know if I'm assuming too much here, but on your journey to feeling like more lovable, do you think even the feeling of loving someone and wanting someone in the way that you're feeling now has helped you with that? Like, as in actually being able to give someone else that feeling, or like, you know, because before, do you maybe feel like there was a part of you that wasn't lovable because you didn't even know how to love in the first place?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And something beautiful about Charlie is he taught me how to love and what love looks like. Even if it wasn't romantically, he just taught me that, you know, what, how it really feels when you love and respect someone, because it wasn't violence. It wasn't putting them down. It wasn't, you know, hot and cold that I got from my parents. It's actually this unconditional, like, feeling of mutual respect and confidence in the other person being there for you and them kind of validating you and showing up for you, and you want to do the same for them. So he taught me what love generally looks like. And then obviously my dating history taught me what, you know, romantic love is. And I think one thing I loved was when I was first like experimenting with women was I saw just how beautiful women are. And just when I was dating, like when I went on dates, I would see women for who they are and be so attracted to them that it almost made me realize that, why don't I see that in myself?
Yeah. Mm.
Like the way I view them is like they all are gorgeous and I connect with their souls. And it kind of helped me realize that that's what I should be doing with myself. And then when I started dating, I remember that you would do like a whole dating get ready with me. So like, you know, I would 2 hours before the date, I'd do my everything shower and I would put my favorite perfumes on and all those like little things like my, what's it, Sol Janeiro? Like I always keep
your bum
that.
Bum cream?
My bum
amazing.
Bum cream.
Amazing.
That's the best.
But I would always put it in this little spot where I could only use it for special occasions. And I like woke up one day and I was like, Ash, no.
Yeah.
Every day should
not
be
just
getting
for dates.
Exactly. Yeah. Every day I should be using my special stuff because for every you. Day I'm dating myself.
Yeah. Love
and
that.
That really helped me on my dating journey. And now I use my Sol Janeiro bum bum cream every day, even though it runs out fast. I still use it because I'm going on a date with me. And I think dating in general, especially dating women, I really opened myself up in a way that I got to see my worth, but also just how beautiful and yeah, beautiful women are for sure. But like just how when you're dating someone, you're not seeing all that stuff that we often pick apart about ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Like at all. Like I had this thing with a girl and she had acne. And I remember like me picking everything of my face. But when I was looking at her, I was like, damn, she's just so beautiful.
Yeah, like you didn't even see it.
I did not see it at all. And all her insecurities that she would bring up, I was like, no, you are gorgeous. And I think I've never really experienced that with a guy. Like I see their beauty and stuff, but I never really had that attraction where I just see them in a way that you're like, I've got this crush on you as a human. And then with women, I see that and I'm like, wow, it's really nothing to do with all those things that I pick apart on myself. It's just them and this like attraction to them as a human. So it's been really nice in that way.
Oh, that. Thank you for sharing that with us, Ash. That's so beautiful. Yeah. And we could seriously talk to you for hours. We're definitely going to have to do a part two.
Yeah, I think what our part two should be like is even like your continuing to talk about your dating and I think helping anyone on that journey that might be like finding their sexuality and figuring that out, because I'm sure that's been a journey in itself.
Oh, it's been so freeing.
Yeah.
Like even just being able to look more gay. Like I grew up and people would be like, I'd get some side comments being like, oh, you look, you know, like a lesbian. And I'd be like, oh no, I don't want to look like a lesbian.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to be a dyke. And then now I walk around and I'm like, I got my little chain thing that shows people that you're a lesbian. It's, I don't know what it's called. What is it? It's something. And I'm like, I own it. My dog's got a little pride flag and I'm like, excuse me, I'm single and I'm gay. And I just feel like I can be myself in the way I look and in the way I talk and in the way I just like appear in the world and appear to myself. And it's just so freeing. So anyone that's on that journey, it's hard, but it's so worth it just for peace of mind and just being able to like fully relax. And then you develop your community from that and the people you attract and this like opportunities you attract. It's just so much more aligned and fulfilling and beautiful. And I honestly just want this journey for everybody because living this way, it's like you're just taking off a backpack of like 20 kilos and you can just like be like, ooh, yay. Hey.
Oh,
and it's just
it.
So nice. And I feel like any way that I can share to help someone feel more confident in going on their journey is just a win.
Well, thank you so much, Ash. I'm so excited for part two. Yeah. That will be coming, everyone, very soon. Don't worry, we'll get you back in very soon so we can. I feel like everyone will be listening, like, I want part two now. I want it now. So thank you, Ash. Thank you for being you and being so vulnerable and honest and generous in everything you share.
Oh, thanks for holding space, ladies. I loved it. Oh, this was so nice.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode. If you ever want to get involved in the Kick Pod, which we would love, there are a few ways you can do it. You can follow us and DM us on Instagram. We're at Kick Pod. That's KICPOD. Tell us what you think of our episodes, suggest guests for future episodes, or DM us an anonymous voice note, which we love.
You can also join the conversation in our closed Facebook group. Just search Kick Pod on Facebook. And if you want to learn more about the Kick app, you can visit us at kickapp.com or search Kick, that's K-I-C, on the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. We have a 7-day free trial for you to try us out. And you can also follow us on Instagram at Steph Claire Smith and at Laura.Henshaw. We'll be back in your ears very soon.